This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Ooh, honey, I'm stuffed.
Ooh, honey, stuff it like a butter ball because it wasn't made right, no way. It's the day after Turkey Day, and the goss is thick like mama's gravy.
Yes, ma'am. I put my hand inside a tofurkey, and guess what I pulled out? Mm. Take us to the house of Gucci. We're going to the movies, sweetie. Pop the corn, feed the Gucci.
We cover a lot today. We talk about Britney finally being free from her conservatorship.
We check the calendrier for our schedules for the rest of the year.
And more political bullshit in our racist-ass country with a broken system.
We're getting a special interception of the news from Drag 3. We're chatting about Drag Race UK and the Pearly Gates roast with the top four divas.
And a very exciting special guest for our spelunking expedition. It's Dan Savage joining us in the cave to answer some DMs about sex and love. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Forever Dog.
Wingardium Lesbiosa.
Oh, she's head over healing.
We want to welcome you back for yet another steaming
hungering,
scalding serving of hot goss. This is our weekly chat show where we talk about events in our lives, gossip and politics, and take a deep dive into the D-Dems. So let's go ahead and get into some hot
goss.
We want to take a second to talk to you about Chicken Dolphin.
Chicken Dolphin. Or is we...
The dolphin of the ocean.
A cousin of the porpoise cock.
Porpoise cock.
Porpoise cock.
Oh, you'll do anything, won't you? You'll do anything on OnlyFans.
Let me talk to you about Rooster Tranity.
Well,
the sea cow of land. The tea cow of land. Sorry.
The tea cow. It is now officially Black Friday. Are you recording from a mall where you're getting trampled for a Tickle Me Elmo?
No, I do that at the house. I am the Tickle Me Smelmo. I'd like
it's
you to smell
scented.
It.
It smells like Elmo.
I'm podcastressing from the Alexandra Theater in Birmingham.
Oh, the Alexandra.
It's a great theater. It's the second biggest city in England. I'm having so much fun while I'm here. It's a great town. There is trade coming out my wazoo.
Wait, what city is it?
Birmingham.
Oh, we love Birmingham. Birmingham. It's a fierce except city.
Except that time that I did Pride and they tried not to pay me. It's a great city other than that. I was like, I need the money. And they said, what? No, we'll talk to your agent. I said, no, here's the contract. It says I leave cash in hand. They said, well, we don't have any. And I said, well, I'll take British funds. They're like, we don't have any of that either. And I was like, y'all got wallets, don't you? I was like, you want me to, let me just rip something out of the wall that's expensive. I need some money.
Who got some money for me?
It was literally a standoff. And I got my money. But what are you doing the day after Thanksgiving?
I'm looking for the largest screen TV I can find. Just heinous. Just, I want it to be like surround.
Heinous thing as possible.
I want it to be like surround view. Like you get seasick from looking at it.
Yeah, I have a 72-incher from
That sounds jumbo.
It's huge. And I got it in divorce. basically. I didn't even want it. I've maybe turned it on 10 times.
she got the Porsche and she got the palace. I'm going through the big D and I don't mean Dallas.
I'm hoping that next year Thanksgiving is renamed to, like, you know, Friendsgiving or something like that, because there's plenty of people in America that should not be thankful that it's called Thanksgiving. Like, you know, so I'm at an odds, and I'm not celebrating Thanksgiving this year because I'm in another country and they don't do that over here.
They
don't do all that. But what did you do for Thanksgiving?
Well, I mean, it's important to remember the good things from traditions and remember the things that need to be changed. So, I mean,
like raisins and stuffing. Nobody does that.
Well, yeah, I'm not a huge stuffing girl myself. Thanksgiving, the things I like about the day and the tradition are eating, gathering with people you hold dear, and those things are nice. We mustn't forget the tradition of colonization and brutalization that basically
of the toilet afterwards.
No. And today is not just Black Friday, it's Native American Heritage Day. So can I get some applause from our audience on this day?
Let's get Trixie to come in here and talk about all of her Native American heritage.
Yes, exactly.
Well,
Trixina Cosmeticsina. But you know what? This is a time where we're facing the end of the year. What do you have going on for the rest of this year? I mean, the year is coming to a close so fast.
I'm on the Murphy and Peeper holiday tour.
Oh, Murphy and Peeper's The Waiter's Roast.
Starting December 15th, I think, in Kansas or Oklahoma. And I'm doing 12 dates with them. And then for New Year's, I'm in Louisville. And then New Year's Day, I'm in Nashville, both at Play, which is like two of my favorite clubs to work at.
Absolutely.
And then I think the 5th, I'm at Oasis in San Fran, which is great. Returning to the scene of the crime of the glorious Fistina video.
Of course, Fistina Aguilera.
What are you doing for the holidays?
So you're doing 12 shows on Murray and Peters. You should do a song called The 12 Shows of Murray and Peters. On the first show of Murray and Peters, I got into a fist fight backstage with Trinity the Tuck. And she threw me in a garbage can. On the second day of Murray and Peters, they sent a picture to me of their dick next to a remote control. Is that public record? We can't talk
about that. Yeah, everybody knows about it. Okay. On the third day of Murphy and Peeper's Christmas tour.
I got so wasted that I missed my call time.
Trinity and Monet left to do a Madonna video, but then they were rehired as the hosts. Bad behaviors rewarded. 5 golden rings. 3 loose assholes. And a gig for me never next year.
Oh, I think there's a hit in there. I really
do. Come see me on tour, please. And I'll be showing you lots of me. If you'd like a piece of me, come and get it.
Speaking of piece of me, we know that we didn't talk about Britney Spears. Listen, okay.
It wasn't official, though, by the time we were podcasting last week and recording.
Right. We sometimes record a little bit in advance, and we don't have all the upcoming breaking news that's fit to print. But we must speak about the fact that Britney is free. It goes from free Britney to Britney free, okay? Mm-hmm. So what do we think?
I'm so excited for her. And I'm even more excited for the large plate of shut the fuck up that she's serving to her family. And those who we thought were so innocent may not have been so innocent, you know?
Whom?
And, you know, her mom,
Shady
her
bitch.
Sister. She's intoning that she said, my dad wasn't smart enough to come up with the conservatorship. It was my mom's idea.
Oh, bitch. And,
I know, a mother.
Bitch.
Not
fire.
Without my daughter's bank account. And her mom's trying to get lawyer's fees out of it for something, like $650K. Yeah, exactly.
Mommy, just girl, we congratulate Britney on being free. She has opened up a huge conversation about conservatorship-dom. And I look forward to seeing her flourish as a free woman.
Free Britney. I look forward to her seeing her recoil in fear from Derek Barry again in public.
I love you. You're so cool and good. Oh my God. I'm not scared of you in any way.
I don't find this freaky or weird at all.
She's pressing the red like panic button underneath the table.
Very that. Do you think we're going to get new music, a new baby? A wedding. What do you think is next for Britney?
I think she's going to yank out that IUD. I think she's going to get knocked up as soon as she fucking can.
She likes
being a mom, and she likes being pregnant, and she likes all that. So, like, let her have her babies. It's not proper to not give her her babies.
Give her her babies. I'm hoping for more dancing videos, twirlings, all those things.
She ain't gonna do that. She's
done? No more?
She's not good. Not for a very long time. I don't think we're gonna see new music. I don't think we're gonna see new tours. I think she's gonna take a good long break from being that thing propped up in the middle of the stage surrounded by dancers and fire rings. I really do. And good for her.
When Blackout was recorded, she hadn't really had new music in like two and a half years, and like she got a man, she was having good times with Kevin,
she's having babies, intergalactic bazaar, she's having babies.
She no clue, but she deserves a break.
Take a break. Okay, before we take a break, what about House of Gucci? See, we're recording this in advance. It just came out today. I'm literally trying to figure out if there's a showing right by the theater so I could go see it by myself in the middle of the day. Just sneaking away to see Lady Gaga in her new motion picture.
Oh my gosh. Gucci goo. She looks great. All these appearances, the trenches.
Honey, she's in the trenches.
The coordinating bags, the hair, the makeup, the pump. We're pleased as punch. We love it. And then the Grammy nominations. I mean, she and Tony Bennett are nominated for Love for Sale, and Bobby is also nominated.
Bobby.
And we're loving the fashions. She's been wearing a little Valentino, a little Versace, a little Gucci.
Well, I mean, the movie's called House of Gucci. I hope that she... I was wondering, like, is she wearing all Gucci? But no, she's mixing it up. No, she's giving us... Variety is the watchword for this girl.
Mm-hmm. The purple was Gucci. The red was Versace. The cape was Gucci. I think the leopard was... who was the leopard? It might have been YSL. I don't know.
Everything must be. Well, I look forward to
Valentino.
Seeing the film. And we have a rainbow spotlight before we go to break. And this comes with a message.
Yeah, the message is from Victor. He says, "Hi, my name is Victor, hailing from the hateful Lone Star State of Texas. I would like to submit Gina Chavez for your consideration as a Rainbow Spotlight. She, them, is a lovely lesbian musician from Austin, Texas, has just released a remix of her song, She Persisted. The music video features Kylie Sonique Glove, Cynthia Lee Fontaine, and Rock'em Sakura, as well as Gina's drag debut. It's a fun empowerment women dance track, and the video is sickening too. Thank you, Alaska Willem Dipper, and all the starlets over at Mom for the hours of entertainment and love. XOXO Victor. She Persisted. The Boy Sim Remix by Gina Chavez is available now.
Let's give it a listen and check out the music video, and we'll be right back.
Listen. My hands are tied. Your hands are too. Now we don't know where to go. Don't know where to go. Don't know what to do. Can't deny.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie.
Also, you're going to want to discover the 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
The Factor meals were so great. I love that they came in a recyclable container and with very little waste. And food, delicious. My taste buds had a party.
Exactly. Really good. Really easy to make. Loved it.
Not a lot of cleanup because Factor Meals eliminates the hassle of the prepping, the cooking, and cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff, and you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and then pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. And if you're looking for gourmet meals, try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/drag50 and use code DRAG50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code DRAG50 at factormeals.com/DRAG50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active. And look who's back. Everything must be leopard print.
Everything must be.
In other rainbow spotlight news, I was just slipping down the rainbow and I found near turquoise and pink, the discarded colors, I found some more music. It seems that you have more tracks.
Hot
tracks
jams?
On tracks. You, baby, you got more tracks than a Zach Killian unit. Okay. This is thick, it's bountiful, it's full of tracks. This new album is giving me everything I need. First I saw Red, and then I saw, I said Wow, and then also, what was the third was
Beautiful
Wow.
Night for a Breakdown was beautiful, out there.
Beautiful Night for a Breakdown was great, mm-hmm. That video was wonderful. Didn't bother to put on a wig for Wow, but that's okay.
You know that.
Barnyard Bill.
Buffalo Bill. Oh, it just never occurred to me you wouldn't be in drag. I am in drag.
I'm in drag,
RuPaul. And
these
we
new
just
songs.
Put out we just put out two new songs, XOXO Y2K and Ask Me. And these
what is
are
it?
What do you mean?
You said Ask Me?
Ask me. Ask me.
Yeah, I just did.
The music's really fun and really good, and that's not all. I mean, there's more coming, and we're slowly releasing these as they come. And thank you to everyone who's been listening and enjoying.
You're a free woman.
I like the music.
Can you please tell us about a look that you recently wore that made you feel your puss deep down in your soul? Or maybe
is this what passes for an outline?
Girl, she said, chop suey, here's your outline. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. She said, well, Brooklyn didn't want to talk about it. She quit. Let me give it to the other whores. I don't know how this part ended up on here. Tell us about a look you recently wore that made you feel your puss deep down in your soul.
Well, this does spark a conversation for me, though. So thank you, Dipper. We're deriding you for your input. But this is actually provoking to me because we're in theater shows.
We're theater girls.
So we wear the same hair, the same clothes, the same makeup night after night after night. Does that get wild for you? Does that get difficult for you?
Well, in my run of Death Drop, the play, I've worn probably 10 or 11 different wigs. I just keep changing wigs.
Oh, I see. So you're inconsistent.
Yeah, I'm inconsistent. My costumes are all the same, other than my panties. Sometimes I wear them, sometimes I don't. And then I find out during my quick change in the first act, oops, forgot to put on panties again. So we give shows. What about you? You've been wearing that updo, that little red wig.
You keep calling it little, and you obviously haven't seen the show yet, and I hope you do come when you get back to the
I
US.
Am.
The promo
shots. I can bring you
shots,
a longer wig.
No, the promo shots that are out there, that was the rehearsal wig. And so, like, the actual wig I'm wearing is, like, it's a beautiful updo. Like, it's beautifully done.
Show me the beauty.
And it's very high and tall and not, like, you keep calling it, like, this tiny chicken wig. And that's a misnomer because it's not.
Misnomer Malone?
Have you done a show with misnomer?
Listen, bitch. I want to talk to you about another party because I saw some man at this gig where your name was on the flyer for Fat Slut. There was some dude there. Do you know anything about that for Meatballs Party?
Well, yes.
Flatfoot?
She said someone couldn't do it at the last minute, and so she asked me to come in and judge the sexy eating contest, which isn't really a sexy eating contest.
It's sexy eating.
It's more like you take foods and shove it all over your bare ass and get the audience to clap, which mm-hmm. is better than an eating contest.
Definitely. For me personally.
I had a great time, and congratulations to Meatball because that's a really, really fun party. It's a great concept, a great idea, and it brought together a really fun, cool crowd. And Nikki Jizz, who was on Beatdown.
Love her. Yeah. The wig from San Fran.
Who does The Impossible.
Yes.
She got me, girl, because
Did she do it again?
Yes, she did her act. Oh. Which,
so
okay, she starts out in, like, long hair. She's doing this comedy monologue. It's really, really funny, really, really tight. Amazing. Then it goes into a song, and she rips off the wig, and it's a tiny little chicken wig. Okay, great. Then she pulls off the tiny chicken wig, and it's an even smaller chicken wig. And I'm like, okay, I'm here for this. I'm with you. I'm absolutely... The crowd is in the palm of her hand. Then she pulls off the chicken wig, and she's bald. So I was like, okay, great. She's giving bald beauty. Fabulous. Wonderful. Then she goes to the back of the stage and proceeds to rip her scalp open. Mm-hmm. It was a bald cap. She got me. I couldn't tell it was a bald cap. She rips open the bald cap to reveal a wig underneath the bald cap. Hair.
No.
She went from bald to haired.
Oh, she's amazing.
Really,
and the application
really
of the bald cap was great, too, because, like, it wasn't even indented in the front, like,
no.
From wearing two wigs on top of it. She's a great artist. Props to Nikki Jizz. Follow her if you can. It's Nicki Jizz. Check her out on Beatdown this past week, which is on my YouTube channel. Subscribe to that. It's amazing to see drag flourishing and in such a great way where, like, people are doing new things we haven't seen. They're not just defending short red updo wigs.
Okay. You know what? Why don't we do a segment we haven't done in a while? And this is a segment that we call...
Let's get political. I wanna get political. At the behest of the outline. Mm-hmm. This week we
What are you talking about at the behest? It's on the outline.
I know, at the behest of this outline. At the behest of this.
What does behest means, mean?
It means like at the willing, like the
whim of a madman.
Speaking of, we do have a madman. His name is Kyle Rittenhouse. He killed
hell.
Two people, and he shot another one during the unrest in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And he was acquitted of first-degree intentional homicide and four other felony charges. After the verdict was announced, the controversial judge presiding over the trial, Bruce Schroeder, praised the jurors, who were 11 white people and one black person, I'm pretty sure. And he said he couldn't have asked for a better jury. Some legal observers have criticized Judge Schroeder's decisions through the trial. He refused to allow the prosecutors to refer to the Rittenhouse's victims as victims, claiming it was a loaded term, much like Kyle's guns. And he allowed the defense to introduce evidence of police officers telling Rittenhouse, "We appreciate you." Immediately after Kyle Rittenhouse's acquittal on Friday, the Fringe Rights online forums lit up with celebration and, among some, a belief that they too can kill without legal consequence. Violent white nationalists on the internet fringes weren't the only ones to immediately celebrate Rittenhouse's acquittal. Within minutes of the not guilty verdict, Representative Madison Cawthorn, who's a Republican from North Carolina, had offered him an internship. This is disgusting.
So this...
I posted something about it on Instagram just because I was kind of shocked that this happened. And a lot of my black friends DM me and were saying, no, we're not shocked. We expected this, which like if I'm feeling the way I'm feeling about this right now, I can't imagine how it is for any of them. And yeah. I would hate to feel unwelcome in my own country and unsafe. Like they do. And I don't understand how his mother, the woman that drove him across state lines with loaded guns, isn't also being brought up on charges. Yeah. Plus, she looks like a melted piece of Halloween candy whose eyebrows couldn't be saved by me nor you. She's a horrible woman. She doesn't look like she's fit to be a parent at all. And it's evident by what her son did. I'm just disgusted. And I'm wondering why there were a lot of memes like saying this person who was white and killed people was apprehended and arrested. And then next to it was a picture of someone African-American or a person of color who was killed when they didn't have a gun. And it's like all of these things, there are people saying, oh, if he was black, there wouldn't have been a trial. Yeah, there wouldn't have been because the cops would have shot him. You know?
That's tea. Yes. It's
this country is like, I was talking to Vinegar because she's in the cast with me and she's like, I always thought America was like, I'd eventually go there and move there. And she's like, not right now, babes. I was like, yeah, I get it. You wouldn't like, I wouldn't feel welcome either.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. This is really, really horrible. And it shows yet again, the way that the system is broken, the way that the system favors. And look, it even rewards white people in this scenario. And if you look at, you know, a person of color in a situation like this, it would look quite different. And that is a system that's broken and that doesn't work and that needs to be fixed. And the fact that that Rittenhouse is being sort of rewarded and exalted and given jobs and given opportunities because of all this, that
posing with Trump,
that gives more that lights a flame under more people to want to go and do behavior like this. He killed two people. Well, on that note, why don't we take a break?
If you like the My Pillows, the My Pillow guy helped pay for Kyle Rittenhouse's bail. So no more My Pillows. They're cut. They're cut. They're done. Get a Helix, honestly. Get two.
Right, we'll be right back. Hello, love.
Hello.
Hello,
cup
darling.
Of tea.
Oh, yes. It is tea time, isn't it?
One lump or two? One bump? Well, oh, no, that's the razor
band. That's your injectables. I see more than two lumps, darling.
I see clumpy pump. Clotted pump.
This is a moment where we dive into Drag Race UK Series 3 or Druck 3. 3.
Woo!
And we just give a little, you know, a little she-cap. We're talking about episode 9. It's getting down to it. And this is the Pearly Gates roast, my love. Did you
they
watch?
Filmed this. I did.
Don't lie, because I'll know.
No, I watched. They filmed it in 42 minutes. The whole episode.
She need to stop.
They even did the commercials live. This is the week after the infamous Bra Wars acting challenge with the top four, where no one was eliminated. So we're still at a top four. Mm-hmm. Going into this challenge, we have a pretty even playing field. All the girls have at least one badge. Vanity has one, Crystal has two, Kitty has two badges and a sash, and Ella has three badges.
And it could be anyone's game. And Ella gets to set the order of the queens for this roast, where they get to roast themselves at the gates of heaven. They roast themselves, their eliminated competitors, the judging panel. Nobody's off limits. It's a roast. Get into it.
Yeah.
RuPaul is in a mini dress. This is very festive.
Ooh, baby. I love this. I love it all. Other than the ankle strap. And we know Raven hates an ankle strap too.
So you and everything. Raven agree at last.
Honey, 99.8% right this outfit is. The hair's cute, flirty. Oh, baby. I love this little baby doll hooker number.
You would wear this.
I have this. I have a black sheer dress with gold dots that Dallas Coulter made for me that looks very much like this.
You do. Yes. Yes, this is very you.
Very me. The shoe would be different. The shoe would be better.
Okay.
The hair would be... I would steal this hair from RuPaul in a second.
Right. Now, what did you think of the roast?
I wasn't surprised by it. I think that... I think Kitty is going to take the crown. I know she's a shady bitch. Shady because, like, she was in this girl group, the Girls Allowed girl group out here with the drag queens.
Yes.
Where no girls are actually allowed. And there's this girl who's got a tiny little forehead, and she kept telling her on stage that her wig was slipping while they were on stage. So the girl kept pulling it forward. And then by the end of the show, the girl's wig was at her eyebrows. She kept doing the... that thing on stage. So she's a shady bitch. And I like
shady
that. I respect that. I see it. And she's all over the streets in Birmingham. They have like these electronic billboards and it said, "Will Birmingham take the crown?" And it's Kitty on there. Like, aww. Drag is so mainstream now. And it's so great to see her picture all over.
That's a big deal. And she
it really is.
She did great in the roast, but I will say Elle of a Day. I mean, Elle of a Day's roast was just sort of a masterclass in how to, you know, how to do this sort of comedy. It was so clean. She was off book. It was funny as fuck.
She
really
great.
Did a great job. Yeah, she looked beautiful. I guess the flounderings were Crystal, which we knew that she was very nervous about this.
Yeah.
And Vanity Milan also had a few clunkers.
Yeah, and Crystal calling Michelle an old whore the whole time, that's just not right. She's an old slut. Michelle
exactly.
never
they
charged.
Get it right or pay the price.
Honestly.
Exactly.
There was a part that Ella said was cut from the airing where she told RuPaul the thing about last week, how it was Kate Winslet versus... who was the other one? Kate Winslet versus an Oompa Loompa or something.
Oh, yeah.
And RuPaul was the only one that could remember that because she's so old. She was on the Titanic. You know,
damn.
Little gentle barbs like that were cut.
Yes.
I have... who? Exactly.
Shady bitch.
There was no moment that was like a revelation in the roast for me that was like, oh my God, that was so funny. I need to steal that joke. It was fine. I mean, we've seen roast now. And once you've seen a roast with like Bianca and Jinx and Bob, there's nothing new really. But this wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't terrible. It was definitely watchable.
I wish Vanity came in with some more some pre-written stuff. Because at this point, you know, a roast or a roasty challenge, roasty toasty challenge of some sort is going to happen. So it would behoove a girl to come prepared when you know that it's not your strong suit, you know.
Yeah. Like, and hire writers.
Or girls. Have a reveal. Do something.
Right. If you're out there and you're going to Drag Race, it's not just about getting your looks together. Get some jokes together. If you know that's not your strongest suit, especially... call up your funny friends and be like, can I pay you some dollars to write me some funny shit and just have it in the pocket for when you get there?
You know what? Everybody knows that you and I are helpful queens. We'll talk to anybody. There's a girl that I definitely wrote some stuff for season 14, and I was happy to do it. I was honored. I didn't accept money. I love being involved in the franchise still. All I'm saying is she better text me back when I fucking text her if I ever need anything, because some of these girls aren't doing that. And I find that so just like inflammatory. And I know the girls may not be on their phones and they're busy, but like, let's be honest, you're on your phone at least once a day and you see a text message from people. And like, it's not hard to answer someone who was kind to you and who did you favors when you needed it. And you don't want to do that for me. Goodbye.
Oh,
after the amount of things that they wore, and it's not Sonique, I'll tell you that. I was pissed. I had you were on the phone with me. I was like, these little cunts.
Well, more on that as it develops.
a developing cunt. I love that. What did you think of the runways for these girls for these looks?
Oh my goddess was the runway theme. How about that Elle of a Day hair? That was giving very Willem to me.
How dare you?
What? It's blue? It's human?
A center part that you call that human?
She said it was human.
Honey.
I saw the unit and it was human.
Baby, that looks like a Webster and it needs a base tease. Let me tell you that. That is the least Willem wig up there, I would say.
Okay, now, well, how about Kitty Scott Claus's wig? That was, honey, there were some really architectural things happening that was really cute.
I need Kitty's whole look. I need Vanity. Yeah, I need Vanity to put on a gold shoe, though, instead of a silver shoe.
Okay, and I could see that.
Crystal looks great. I would have loved to see what Charity Case would have done for this runway. You know, because
she would have been the devil or something, probably.
I can only imagine. But Kitty looks structured, beautiful. She's giving me like Simone's cousin from Simone's finale gown with the gold and the white. Ella looks pretty. It's giving me constellation in the sky kind of goddess.
Big Dipper, perhaps.
Ursa Minor. It needs a lot more, though. Like, it's got the shreds and stuff, but it needs more of that, because she's a substantial human, and she's a bigger dude. So she needs more. She needs bigger hair. She needs more accoutrement flying. If she had like blue metallic chains dripping off the nails or something to give it more movement than her like flinging the chiffon. Like, it needs more, like beaded fringe and the stars.
And everyone had a sort of crown chakra, some kind of thing emanating off the head, which to me is very goddessy.
Same.
To have something emanating out of the head. Everyone had that except Ella on this runway. And I think it's goddess, so go there.
I mean,
you know, that sort of feeling.
Even those cheap Amazon antennas that light up that I wear a lot that are like fiber optic. If she wore like three of them on one headband, like sewed together, that would be six of them all lighting up around her blue. It would have been beautiful. I feel like Ella's outfit here just shows some of her rookiness in the field of drag a little bit.
Sure.
And she did the best that she could, and she looks beautiful. I'm not saying she's not beautiful.
And you know what? she ended up being the winner of the challenge. Kitty Scott Claus was safe, and the bottom two ended up being Crystal and Vanity, who lip-synced to Hallucinate by Dua Lipa. And this was a very entertaining lip-sync. It's one of those great, you know, great hit fucking songs that drag queens do all the time. It was a pleasure to watch, and Crystal took it. It was her moment.
Yep. So that leaves the final three.
And by the time this comes out, there will be a winner.
Really?
Yeah. I can't believe it. Oh. Congratulations to all of the girls and whoever wins. You know what? You're all winners because you're all memorable and you all did a great job.
And also a special shout out to the other UK winner from earlier this year, Lawrence Chaney. He got a BAFTA award.
You better work.
You better BAFTA, bitch.
You better BAFTA. We'll be back right after this break with an extra special guest for our DM segment.
Honey, it ain't Lily Savage, but he is a savage.
Okay. We will be right back. Oh my gosh. These girls, sometimes a tip spot pops up when you're not even expecting it. Sometimes it comes up in a different section.
I said, we get a tip spot on my back.
Sometimes it's on the back. Oh my goodness. We have a tip spot. She's a beautiful doll. She's a beautiful girl.
BNW girl.
She's beauty. She's grace. Right. When it comes to sex and relationships, she is the doll. She's the diva and the doll. Our guest for this section is an author, a media pundit, a journalist, an activist. His column, Savage Love, is internationally syndicated, and he hosts the podcast Savage Lovecast. This is our very special guest, Dan Savage.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Hi.
We're happy.
Oh my gosh, thank you for being here.
Chia Gun's very happy you're here.
This is the part of the show where we go, do you have your headlamp that we sent you? We sent you one in the mail.
And it's your kitten heel? We're going to go hiking and drag real quick through a cave.
We do go deep into a cave for this segment. This is a segment we call, will you say it with us?
Spelunking. Unking. Deep inside
the DMs.
That was perfect. You did it. This is the part where we like to bring your own J-Lube, just really get in there and wreck people's lives with
boy
unqualified
butter.
Advice. Boy buttering. I prefer spread. Spread's easier. So this first message comes from Kay. It says, hello, doll.
I can't believe it's not boy butter. Okay, sorry, I'm done.
We're gonna speculate or speculum, one or the other.
Why not both? Hello, dolls, dip, and special relationship guru. I've been seeing this guy for 3 months. I love the time we spend together. Our sense of humor is the same. He's so sweet and kind. And to top it all off, the sex is great. Watching Drag Race together is our favorite thing to do. You could see a real future with him. Or I could, until he sat me down last week and said he realized that he wasn't interested in a relationship and didn't want to do anything sexual or romantic. He even went as far as to say he's potentially asexual, aromantic, but doesn't know. Okay. I pushed him on this. Was it that he didn't like me and didn't want to date me? But he said that he really liked spending time with me and wanting to keep hanging out as friends. So I'm conflicted. Do I keep hanging out with him in the hopes he'll wake up one day and change his mind about us? Bury my feelings for him and genuinely try to be his friend since I enjoy him so much. Or do I cut my losses and stop spending time with him? After all, I have enough friends and time with him is time I'm not going on new dates. Mm-hmm. Appreciate any guidance you have in these trying times. P.S. Years ago, Willem was leaving an event, my friends, and I shouted hi at her, and she simply responded, wrong queen, and got into her car. We quote that to this day. Much love, Kay from Canada. Not that Kay, Courtney. Damn.
I what love wrong singing? Queen is a catchphrase.
Wrong queen.
Bar queen. Wrong queen. Very me at tracks.
You know, I read this letter and my first thought was, is, you know, I think I might be asexual. Is that like a very modern variation on it's not you, it's me? Just the face-saving, ego-sparing little white lie?
Mm, well, yeah. but he still wants to hang out with this person. Like, he still wants to,
He doesn't want to have a car. Person.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's possible. I mean, there are people who are asexual, who are aromantic, especially nowadays. It's like a growing thing.
Absolutely. I'm not casting any doubt on the existence of asexual people. The data, the research is in. Asexuality, about 1% of the population. But this comes up a lot. Not this person didn't say, I am asexual. This person said, you know, I think I might be asexual, which is really qualified in an interesting way. You know, because when people have a really hard time just being straight up with somebody they're not interested in because they don't want to hurt their feelings. So they say things like, it's not you, it's me. I'm not ready for a relationship right now. All sorts of things that we have to read into them. Not ready for a relationship right now with me. You know what I mean? It is you, usually. If somebody wanted to be with you, they'd figure out how to make that happen. And so just sometimes I think people abuse asexuality by claiming it when they're just trying to get out of rejecting somebody truthfully and honestly.
So you think option 3, cut the losses.
Yeah, get the fuck out.
Okay.
If the only reason you're going to hang out with this person is in hopes that they'll change their mind and suddenly realize they want to fuck you, that's a terrible motivation to pretend to be somebody's friend.
Exactly. Should or get off the pot?
Should or get off my face?
Fuck.
Oh, that's dark and nutty.
The Ray LaTrey special.
Push.
Anyway.
Also, there's something else interesting in this letter is that they say, I have enough friends, and they're worried, the letter writer is worried, that if this person is taking up a lot of space in their life, that there won't be that vacuum that's often in our lives when we're single and we want a romantic partner and a sexual partner, where we're motivated to get out there and find them because there's like space in our life for them. And if this person takes up a lot of emotional space for you and it would prevent you from like feeling motivated to get out there and find somebody else, that's another reason to show them the door or show yourself the door.
I love that. It's so nice to have actual advice on this show. Thank you. I mean,
my pleasure. And I'm glad I could shock you guys. I didn't think I'd be able to do that.
No, it's really nice. It's a nice change. Okay. The next message comes from AW. I love the root beer. Okay. Hi, Will, Lask, Dip, and esteemed relationship advice expert. I am a 29-year-old woman with a Y in a long-term 7 years relationship with a cis man. When we first met, I was a horn dog, 21 years old with a strong libido. Since then, my sex drive has plummeted into a raging fire of hate, fear, and anxiety about sex. I barely even like being touched anymore. He's obsessed with my tits, and I just hate my body. I never want to have sex. In fact, we might try having sex, insertion vaginally, once a year because I can see my partner being severely frustrated and horny all the time. I would like to note I do give him blowjobs like 2 to 3 times a week so that he can release some of his sexual frustration. I do find my partner very attractive, handsome, and a lovely dick, but I just have no internal libido that makes me want to engage in sexual activity. Anyways, I would like to get my libido back so I can be a good partner and express my love for him in a physical way, too. Also, is there Viagra for women? Sorry if this is graphic. Thanks for being an excellent pod. Love, AW.
Okay, she needs an endocrinologist. She needs to make sure her hormones are right. And then,
okay,
I think, because if she has no libido, it could be a hormone balance. There could be, you know, something like that.
Or she could just be bored. Studies have shown that women's attraction to their male partners in committed opposite sex relationship actually drops off faster than a man's attraction to his female partner in an opposite sex long-term committed relationship. And it's often the case that women who think, oh my God, I'm sexually broken, I have no libido, what they are is just done. But because women are socialized to think of themselves as nurturers and the ones who are making the relationship work, They don't leave, and they stay and stay and stay, and then they believe that they're sexually damaged, and then they get out of the relationship and they're suddenly horny again. And the problem was the relationship. The problem was the boredom in the relationship. You know, that, and this question kind of has the hallmarks of that. I'm attracted to my partner. I like my partner. I love my partner. I recoil from their touch. I don't feel comfortable in my body. That could be boredom. Yeah, I do agree. See an endocrinologist, get your hormone levels checked. But then, like, if you're done, you can go. Like, a relationship can run its course. And if it's boredom, like, if you want to stay in the relationship, well, there's ways you can work on that. You know, at the beginning of a relationship, I always like to say, you're the adventure they're on, and they're the adventure you're on, and it's effortlessly exciting. 7, 10, 15 years in, you're not their adventure anymore, and they're not yours. And if you want to get back to that adventurous place, you need to go on adventures together. That could mean having three ways. That could mean going to sex clubs and just having sex with each other, having sex somewhere you might get caught. Get out of the house, get out of your bed, go somewhere else and do it. But experiment and play after you see the endocrinologist, which is excellent advice from Willem. So
grab
you
a red wig.
Great advice.
Aww.
You get great advice. But if the hormone levels all check out, it might be time for you to check out of this relationship or blow it up. Find new and interesting things to do together so that you're excited about
sex
again.
Sit on his face.
Sit on his face. But also, like, oh my God, can you imagine being on the receiving end of three reluctant blowjobs a week and how awful that must be for him? Like, you might not be doing him any favors either by staying in this relationship.
I mean, bad head is still head.
Yeah, but three unenthusiastic blowjobs a week for the rest of your life.
Prison,
that's bad
honey.
Head that'll fuck with your head after a while.
Wow.
That'll shred your sexual self-esteem and eventually extinguish his desire for sex, too.
Like, let him titty fuck at least.
Yeah, let him titty fuck. The pearl necklace, bring it back.
Okay, our last letter comes from Sam. It says, hello, Alaska Willem Dipper and special expert guest. Long time, first time. I'm 25 and my love life right now is what Alaska might call gutter bucket. I have been seeing this guy for a little over 5 months, and we've been regularly going on dates and sleeping together the whole time. I felt weird that we hadn't had the what are we talk that long, but I had been putting it off because I'm pretty bad at that kind of conversation. I felt like he treated me like his boyfriend, and I really wanted to make it official. The last time I saw him, a few days ago, I asked him if he wanted to be my boyfriend, and he said he wasn't in a place where he felt like he could be a good boyfriend and that he had a lot to figure out. I really like him, and the dick is amazing, but I also don't want to hurt myself by seeing someone who I know wants different things than me. Is it a bad idea for me to keep seeing him? Part of me thinks that maybe he'll realize that he does want to be my boyfriend at some point, and part of me thinks it would still be worth it to spend time with him even if he doesn't. But I'm also worried that maybe he only said he's not ready for a relationship because he doesn't want to be with me specifically. Any advice would be great. Thanks for being the best pod out there, Sam.
All of that is possible.
Yeah.
He could eventually realize he wants to be your boyfriend, or you could hang out for a while longer and he won't realize that.
The
only way to find
ending.
Out for sure is to hang out for a little bit longer. Decide for yourself. You know, the letter writer should decide for themselves how much more time they're willing to invest in this relationship before it becomes boyfriends.
Yeah. And it's only been 5 months, which seems like a long time, but it's really not. And it's, I mean, 5 months of, like, right now, like, the world is changing and, like, reopening up and we're, like, figuring out what everything is. So, like, I mean, whatever. If you guys are having fun and, like, having a nice time, like, yeah, give it some more time, I think.
Yeah, I think you should give it some more time. I agree with Alaska. People rarely move in lockstep emotionally. It's not fatal to a relationship just because you wanted to put the boyfriend label on it before he did. That doesn't mean he'll never get there or won't get there. And because, you know, Jessica, you said I love you, the other person might not be there yet. They might get there. And if you peace out every time somebody's not right where you are emotionally, no relationship you're ever going to be in is going to last very long. Because people are rarely always in the same place, feelings-wise.
Ding dong.
And it's only been 5 months. 5 months is nothing. Nothing.
That's like less than 10 brushes, less than 20 blowjobs.
Wow.
5 months ain't shit.
This is great advice. Dan, you've really served it to us.
Do you like giving advice, Dan? You're really good at it.
I love it. I grew up reading Ann Landers and Abigail Van Buren and Xavier A. Hollander and my older
Ooh,
brother's
Happy
Penthouse
Hooker.
Magazines. The Happy Hooker. I loved her.
Me too.
Her column in Penthouse was called Ask the Madam. And I would steal my older brother's Penthouse to read Xavier A. Hollander. And then just sort of stumbled into this job giving advice and like writing my dumb advice column and doing my dumb Savage Love Cast, which isn't dumb. I say it's dumb.
Come
it's not
on,
dumb.
Stumbleisha. Stumbling into the gig.
Stumbliana.
And it is such a sweet gig. Like you get an advice column that works and takes off. That's something they pry out of your cold, dead hands one day. I'm like right. Ann Landers. I'm going to die writing that fucking column.
Dear Abby, honey.
Have you ever been wrong about something and then found out you were like so wrong? Like someone wrote in about a follow up and you were like, ooh, my bad.
Like Straight Talk yeah. starring Dolly Parton?
Yeah, absolutely. I comfort myself with the thought that it's not binding arbitration. It's advice. Mm-hmm. And okay. Nobody has to take it. And it's just like they give me, I have limited information and I'm just taking a shot and they can take it or leave it. They don't right. have to do what I told them to do. I more often, though, hear from people who tell me I was right.
Mm.
Usually years later that they should have listened to me and they didn't. So it really ought to be binding arbitration, but it's not, unfortunately. But yeah, oh my God, I've been writing my column for 30 years. You write an advice column and you write about sex for 30 years. There's a lot of things I got wrong. There's a lot of things that were unfolding or we were learning more about as I was writing. And
I have a
totally.
Question.
There were things that got wrong.
Random, and this is like through the grapevine, is... John Cameron Mitchell's character on Shrill based on you.
Lindy West wrote a book called Shrill, and mm-hmm. it was about, in part, her time at The Stranger when I was no longer the editor, so I wasn't really her boss. But yeah, the character is a riff on me. Lindy West says it's not based on me. The TV show version of that character's boss. But it's sort of a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy. But I've never seen the show. I can't watch myself on TV. I was a judge on Drag Race. I never watched that episode of Drag Race. I've never watched an episode of Shrill.
Wasn't that season 4?
Yeah.
I left right before. I left the episode before.
The episode before.
There may have still been embers in the corner.
I understand the character though is very fussy and very like into dressing well and fashion.
You seem chill and the opposite of that. I watched the first season.
Anybody who's ever met me, jeans and t-shirts and not fussy. So
debunked.
I love that. You've given us so much good advice and you've given the world so much good advice. And we're so grateful to have had you spelunking in the DMs.
Thank you for inviting me to spelunk around in your DMs. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for coming to the tip spot. We'll cash in your big bills.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us for Hot Goss this week.
And a special thank you to our very special guest, Dan Savage.
Yes. You can listen to his podcast wherever you get your pods.
That's right. Send us your questions via email to racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
And as always, we have great bonus video content available at patreon.com/Willem.
You can also follow us on Instagram if you're so inclined, at Willem, at the Only Alaska 5000, at Race Chaser Pod, at Mom Podcasts. Mm-hmm.
And that link on our Instagram for Race Chaser Pod also has lots of resources and places to donate money in support of the Black Lives Matter movement and a link to AAPIP.org, which helps combat increased anti-Asian violence.
That's right. Get the vax, wear a mask, wash your hands, stay safe and healthy out there.
Mm-hmm. And we will be back next week with more piping, steaming, scalding, burning,
hot goss.
That's hot goss.
Hot Goss is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is graciously provided by ATF Enterprises.
This Goss is hot.